Ooh, looks like you just stepped in some Jopey cast.
J-O-P-E-Y. J-O-P-E-Y. Jopey.com.
Welcome to my squeaky little voice.
J-O-P-E-Y.
Welcome to my squeaky little
Jopey.com.
voice.
Welcome to my squeaky little voice. Howdy, folks, and welcome. This is episode 4 of the JopeyCast for the week of January 22nd, 2006. I'm your host, Joe Fitzpatrick, but please call me Jopey. The JopeyCast is a weekly podcast that looks at the local music scene of Western Massachusetts. Special thanks to Chris Ryan, who keeps pointing me in the right direction regarding all this podcasting stuff. Thanks, Chris. You seriously got me started. And please, listeners, comments, suggestions, raves, rants, send them on to me. Visit Jopey, JOPEY.com and drop me a line. Our local band spotlight shines this week on a band from Amherst called The Fifth Pocket. I'll be chatting with drummer Hodges about their new lineup, new sound, and future plans. This week, I'm adding a new segment to the show called Bands You Really Should Know. This will be a monthly segment where I share with you, my listeners, a band that I feel more people should hear about. These bands may or may not have local ties, but will be bands that, in my opinion, just don't get the recognition they deserve. This week, I'll be sharing with you the band 12 Rods. I also have a special treat with a live report from the NAMM show in California. The NAMM show is a huge convention of music instrument dealers, manufacturers, software vendors, and of course, musicians. My good friend Bob Lawless is there with a booth of his very own promoting a very cool product. We'll talk to Bob a little later in the show. We've got a lot to do, so let's get things rolling with my weekly rant. Why are the recording and publishing industries so slow to get their digital acts together? So here's the deal. My guest this week was originally going to be the very talented singer and bass player Mary Whip. We had talked about playing some songs from her new CD of jazz standards, but I had realized I don't have permission to do so, as these songs are protected by copyright. So I inquired to Mary about this, and she told me she had the same issue come about when she wanted to offer her CD tracks for digital distribution, such as iTunes or Real Audio. In order for her to do that, she would have to purchase an additional mechanical license for each song, fill out paperwork for each publisher, in Mary's case, that's 12, and by mail, do monthly accounting. What? That just seems like a lot of paperwork. I mean, MP3s have been around for how long now? I just wanted to play 45 seconds of a song or two, maybe three or four, all right, to share with folks. But when I inquired with CD Baby, they said I would need permission from the publishers and or a license to use her CD. So I started poking around and found this thing on the internet called Fair Comment. Fair Comment gives journalists the right to comment directly on a topic and to use a piece of material without licensing it to illustrate their point. As a podcaster or even blogger, you can easily claim you are a journalist. That's scary. However, you should be careful to comment directly on the actual song you intend to play and only play a small portion of the song, as little as necessary to make your point. 10 seconds seems to be the cutoff point. For me, 10 seconds just doesn't work when I'm trying to give listeners a good taste of a recording. So until I worked that issue out, I had to postpone Mary's appearance here on the JopeyCast. I will get this figured out, and we will be hearing from Mary soon. I understand we need to protect the songwriters, but I can't see how playing a portion of a song on a podcast is going to hurt the publishing holder. If anything, it should increase interest in their material and sell more CDs with their songs on them. Bottom line, the publishing and recording industries need to step it up and get with the digital program. If we learned anything from Napster, it's that people want to be able to get their music online. I think Apple's iTunes Store is a great start. I think 99 cents a song doesn't always feel right to me. I am hoping they move to a variable pricing scheme myself. Let the new Nelly song cost 99 cents, but let older Deep Purple cuts go for a quarter. I just love that song, Maybe I'm a Leo from Machine Head. You know the one. It starts off all so syncopated and funky. Oops, sorry folks, that was 10 seconds. Okay, rant done. It's time for the cool internet site of the week. I gotta thank Ina of Whiskey Ina for pointing my mouse to this one. This week's site, Pandora.com and the Music Genome Project. Yes, you heard me correctly, the Music Genome Project. The folks over at the Genome Project have been carefully listening to the songs of over 10,000 different artists, ranging from popular to obscure, and they're analyzing the musical qualities of each song one attribute at a time. Attributes include melody, harmony, rhythm, instrumentation, orchestration. There's even attributes on specific studio recording styles. It's really a huge undertaking. But what it produces is amazing. To be honest, I'm a newbie with this service, but already I am so hooked. I put in some of my favorite bands like XTC, Jellyfish, Fishbone, and I already have like 10 new bands to explore. It's really amazing. So here's how it works. You type in a band, artist, or song title. Pandora then creates a radio station and streams songs that are related to the choice you made. I usually don't care for the quality of streaming music, but I have to say it really sounds good. It even allows you to say if you like or dislike the songs Pandora chooses. They will even accept CDs from bands and will listen and analyze your music and include the songs in their library. And here's the best part. It's free. There is a paid version that will have no ads. The free version doesn't even have ads on it at this time. Go check this stuff out. Pandora.com, and it's linked at jopy.com. And thanks again, Ina. It rocks. You're listening to the track VAAB from the band The Fifth Pocket. Here in the studio with me is trap set player Hodges. Hodges, welcome.
Thank you, Joe. It's good to be here.
Can you give us a brief history of the band?
Yeah. We got together fall of 2003. It was myself, Hugh Currier, Corey O'Brien, Troy Russo, and that was the first lineup of The Fifth Pocket. You know, we were looking to do something new, a little different, something eclectic.
Did you have the same instrumentation at that time?
Yep, same exact instrumentation. Keyboards, drums, bass, guitar, and what else is there? Percussion.
And then when did things change?
Things changed recently, probably about 4 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago. The other members, well, we were slowly losing members. The percussionist left first. He didn't really have much time to put into it anymore. He's a drum set player as well, and he wanted to do his own thing there and put more time into that. That's cool. And the bass player wanted to get back to school, you know, work on that, graduate. And the guitarist just graduated, and his heart really wasn't in the project anymore. And our keyboardist, he was doing some solo stuff too on the side. He's now on tour with John Brown's Body. So, yeah, that's what happened there. And I decided to keep it together and keep going because, you know, I still have this vision, you know, and I really dig the sound.
Dude. Nice. Hey, and where do you guys do most of your gigs?
Well, we pretty much keep it around Western Mass presently just because the new band is so fresh. It's so new still to them. It's about a month and a half old maybe with these guys. So we've been playing the harp. We have a regular gig Thursday nights, the harp, Iron Horse, Pearl Street. Then we do get out to the Valley, too. We've been in Boston, Bill's Bar and whatnot, Providence, and New York, Albany, and but it's still pretty close, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, this is our home base, but we just, travel outside it.
And do you have any recordings available, like, for sale or for demo?
Yes. It's kind of a demo CD. It's older. It's about 2 years old now, those old songs.
Oh, my, 2 years old.
Yeah, right. You can pick those up at Mystery Train in Amherst and Trade Roots. Yeah, those are the two places it's at right now.
Well, I got to tell you, I got to see you at the harp last night, and I, being a drummer, I was totally struck by your setup. Can you explain to the listeners what your kit's all about?
Yeah, it's a hybrid kit. I never really felt comfortable with, like, studio drum sets, just the mounting systems and whatnot. Never really seemed natural, the placement, to me. So I, you know, started probably about 5 years ago customizing my kit and just making it work for myself. I have frame drums now instead of tom-toms, your traditional tom-toms, which give you, like, a pure tone sound and less and no wood resonance. And so it's I like how that works, and it's easy to travel with.
Yeah, can you explain, just for people who don't know what a frame drum is?
Frame drum, it's kind of, every culture has a frame drum, it seems. Goes way back. A lot of them are goat skin. Like the Celts had, like, Bodron, and, like, Africans have a version of that as well. They use them in marching and whatnot on their way to war. It's just like, it's a frame drum. Very little wood on it, if it's wood at all. Mine happen to be steel. And it's just mostly, it's just all about the head, and you pretty much, when you're playing it, you play it with your hands with the inside of the drum facing you. So you're feeling, you know, the, mm-hmm. what you're doing, you know, mm-hmm. Now I've turned it around. I really dug, you know, I was working on frame drums for a little while, dug the sound of them. I decided to turn them around and use them as tom-toms. And, so that's where the steel ones came in, cause they had more durability and I could change the heads. And yeah, it was just an experiment. In fact, it was a pain in the ass. The mounting systems, I had to special order them. They make this thing called, Pearl has a tambourine, a mountable tambourine,
right.
With a quick release mount.
Yep.
And that's what gave me the idea. I was like, oh, if I could get more of those mounts, I could use those to mount frame drums. So I had to order two more of those Pearl tambourines to get the mounts because they don't sell those individually. And so that's what I did there. And I have one of those tambourines as well, but I converted the tambourine into a snambourine. I put an internal snare mechanism inside that.
Very cool.
I have that mounted to my left, yeah.
Wow. And a little bit earlier today, you were telling me about what you're sitting on. Can you
tell us
about that? Yeah.
Instead of a traditional drum throne, I use a cajon, which is a Peruvian instrument. And that comes, it's probably about 100 years old. Slaves used to use fish boxes and sit on the docks sitting on these things, and they had, like, natural snares inside them. Just the way the boxes were held together, it gave, like, the snare sound when you struck it, and they would, like, accompany flamenco guitar with it and whatnot.
Cool.
Yeah. So there's a sound hole in the back that I stick a mic in, send that into a delay pedal that I have velcroed to the side of the drum, and send that into a little amp, and I have that mic'd, and I can just turn the delay on, and I get, like, these great poppy snare sounds on it, or deep snare sounds. It sounds very electronic.
Yep.
So it gives me that organic electronic sound.
Yeah, there's times when I was hearing sounds last night, and I was peeking around going, where's that sound?
Yeah.
Where's that guy? That's not, he's not doing it.
Yeah.
It was very, very cool.
Yeah, thank you.
And I also want to just say, I had seen you at Amherst Brewing Company probably 6 months ago with the older lineup.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a whole different experience. It was a little more loop-based and filters.
Yeah,
there was
layers. And there was a lot of tension, too, at that point.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I remember that show. That wasn't at my happiest. I had a good time, but the rest of the band just seemed like they were just at that point, the breaking point.
Yeah, we've been there.
Yeah, exactly.
Was there anything that inspired you? I know you said something about not being comfortable on a traditional traditional set.
Yeah.
Was there anything like a musical experience or?
I just started thinking about it more. Like the drum set is still so new to us. It's the youngest of the instruments, really, and I don't think it's done evolving. So I wanted to, like, you know, help it along a little and, like, not settle for what I, you know, was given to me and just, you know, evolve it.
Very cool. That's a great way to look at it. We're going to try and get a picture of his kit from some pictures they had done at the studio. We'll try to get those up at, on the Jopy Cast website, so you'll see those soon. Another question, did it take a long time to get used to playing this kind of a set as opposed to a more traditional setup?
Yes, yeah, it did. It took a couple, maybe about a summer to really, like, you know, work everything. I have a lot of pedals. I have two hi-hats, one on each side, then two rides, and then I have a little clave pedal to the left, too, that I can hit a woodblock with my foot. Mm. And then my bass drum pedal is a dualist pedal. It's a double bass pedal, but you play with one foot, and you can switch it on and switch it off, so you can have a single beater or a double beater. So I can play all that with one foot on my right. And on the left, I'm bouncing back and forth between hi-hat pedals and clave pedals.
Dude.
Yeah, and then this double I double-stick the hi-hat, which is holding two sticks in the right hand, and I can't really describe it, but it's double-sticking on the hi-hat, so I'm doing two hands work with one, getting the more bang for the buck, really, with that. And I like to do single-handed rolls, too, like with both hands, so I can keep, you know, get two sounds out of one hand or one limb. I like to do that with all my limbs, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just less energy, you know, more sound.
Very cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, hey, let's listen to something that so that people can hear what your kit sounds like.
Okay.
What do we want to listen to next?
Well, we can listen to something that we're doing right now in the studio. It's a new song called Now Must Stay. And in that, you can hear different elements of what we've just talked about, like the cajon especially. You can hear that in the middle part of the song. It's a little breakdown. And you'll hear how it sounds like an electronic snare. But it's all the cajon, really, and the double stick on the hi hat. You'll hear that going on as well.
Do you study with anybody locally?
I do. I'm very, very privileged to study with Bob Wiener.
Ah, Bob. Bob's a great drummer and great teacher.
Oh, yeah. He's got a couple books out. He's, you know, played all over the world. So many people. Harry Belafonte. He's chilled with Fela Kuti in the 70s. He's just like, he's really just a blessing to the area. You know, best kept secret as far as I'm concerned.
And what do you think Bob has brought to your playing?
Bob's like... He has more of a holistic approach. He's kind of like almost like a guru. You know, he's a very spiritual man. He's really into yoga and just all types of, you know, he's just very open to like, just he's just very spiritual. He's like, yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, it's what he's brought to me, he's made me like look at music differently or like almost on the same path, like where I was going, he's just like guiding me, you know? I mean, it's just like a kindred spirit, you know? Yeah.
It sounds like a really healthy thing though.
Oh, it's awesome.
That's great.
It's awesome. I've also studied with Dave Watts from the Motet. I studied with him last year when I was out in Colorado, and he's brought a lot to my playing as well. Like just, they both make me think about clave more and just like bata, just different rhythms from around the world and applying them to the drum kit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Hey, being a drummer, I have to ask this. Do you have any standout drum heroes?
I do. My favorite all-time drummer is Bill Bruford from Yes. Yeah, the original drummer. There you go, right there.
I had every one of his albums.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much Yes, but I had all those Bruford albums.
Yeah, Earthworks and whatnot. Yeah, he's just, and he's another one. It's just the drum set's always evolving with him as well. Yeah. That's inspiring.
Yeah.
Barrymore Barlow from Tull, the 70s band.
Yeah.
The version of that band in the 70s. Barrymore Barlow, he's one of my heroes. Tony Allen, who created Afrobeat with Fela Kuti in the 70s. Mm-hmm. He's a big inspiration to me. I love everything the guy does. I wish there was more of his like stuff out there, more music, you know, more stuff I could download. And, you know, just it's tough to find Tony Allen stuff.
Right.
But Tony Allen. Who else is there? There's so many, really. But those are the main three, really. You know, you whip those guys together, and that's what I'd like to sound like. You know.
Well, I got to say, I was really impressed last night when I heard you play.
Thank you.
Yeah, you definitely got it going on.
Appreciate that.
One more question specifically about the band. What's in the band's future?
Well, right now we're working on getting our press packs out there. We're trying to do some festival shows late spring, summer. We're just trying to get out of the valley, just put a tour together, be it festivals or a tour happening in the fall, cross country and back. We'll see. But we've played with a lot of great bands, up-and-coming bands on the scene, and it's bands that have already, you know, made it, as far as I'm concerned. Like all of our favorite bands we've been very lucky to open up for or share the stage with. New Deal, Lotus, Brothers Past, The Motet, you know, so many, you know, we're very lucky there. And so we want to get into that circuit and just, like, you know, tour with them more.
Great.
Yeah.
And how about your concept of the band? This is a relatively new lineup. Are you guys approaching songwriting differently?
The new guys came into the band thinking, I was originally going to turn the band this time around into a collective, where if guitarist one couldn't make it, I'd call guitarist two, you know, you know, so on and so forth. But we kind of get a core group happening again. But what they knew what they were walking into, I call the music that we play ambient Afro breakbeat dance music. So, and they heard it beforehand, they dug it, they wanted to be part of it. And so now these guys are coming from different influences, however, though. You know, we got more of a jazz element, I guess, happening now. And yeah, it's ever evolving. It's a bus that people get on and get off, the fifth pocket, really. I guess I'm the driver.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Hey, let's listen to another track. What do you got for us?
This track is called Minimal Ease.
Say that cat can play, and a wicked nice guy too. Hodges, man, thanks for coming by. Check out the Fifth Pocket. They're at the Harp every Thursday night. Nice. All right, hang on tight now.
Bye.
What began in Oxford, Ohio in 1992 ended in Minneapolis, Minnesota, 2004. That's the line that leads off the 12 Rods website. And welcome to Bands You Really Should Know. One of my all-time favorite bands decided to call it quits after 12 hard years. The Rods, as we fans call them, were comprised of Ryan Olcott on guitar, bass, and vocals, Ev, his brother, on keys, and Christopher McGuire on drums. I think the band went through a few members as the years passed, but Ryan and Ev were always a part of the Rods. Let me play for you the first track I heard. It's titled Kaboom, and is the first song on their 2000 release, Separation Anxieties. Bet if you listen closely to that snare sound, you might be able to guess who produced this one. It's one of my studio heroes, Todd Rundgren. He often gets that huge metal popping snare sound. Reminds me of the Pursuit of Happiness drum sound. That song just grabbed me by the you know where and didn't let go. And the second track, a cleverly crafted pop gem, starts off with some of my favorite lyrics. Let's listen to a little bit of What Has Happened.
My ex thinks she's so tough. She flicks her cigarette before she puffs. I think she's a man when she wears Adidas. She lost her libido then dumped me for a punk. Who's in a band? Sounds like Korn, but pretentiously aggressive. Not too impressive for someone she brags to be a next junkie. What has happened to the one that I love? What is
Ryan's voice at times reminds me of Jeff Buckley, and at other times, especially when he slurs or bends the pitch of his voice up, I can hear Ozzy Osbourne. I've seen his singing style labeled robotic, but I think it's because some of his melodies will just sit on one note for a complete phrase. But his voice is always intriguing to me. The band can at times sound like Todd Rundgren, The Who, XTC, even early Genesis. Let's listen to some of the tune Red from their 1998 release Split Personalities. You'll hear what I'm talking about.
Tell me how you feel, 'cause I'm both your friend and foe.
I love how they incorporate those huge analog keyboard sounds to create these really rich textures. Check out the track Fake Magic 8 Ball from their final CD released in 2002, the CD entitled Lost Time. And listen for slightly askew drum fills near the end of the verses and the wonderful transition from verse to chorus. Lost Time was self-produced, and it definitely has a rougher sound than the Rundgren-polished Separation Anxieties, but the songs are just as strong. I'm going to miss this band. Luckily, they have and will continue to keep their website up for us rotters. I made that. That was mine. And the site now includes a band diary that goes back to their first gig in 92. They're offering all their music as digital downloads. You gotta pay for them, but I think that's pretty cool. And they're releasing demos and unreleased tracks from various projects. I wanted to do this segment a few weeks ago, but if you remember from my rant, I didn't have permission to just start playing their songs. So I posted a message on their message board inquiring how I might contact them. Within 24 hours, Ev posted back to me and gave his permission to use any songs on my podcast. Very cool. I noticed a question on their message board just the other day. Why did you guys break up? Ev replied, "We did a show in New York City 2 years ago for Elektra Records at Pianos. It was a great show and they played well. The Elektra guy came up to us after the show and said, 'You guys are fantastic. You're great musicians. The songs rock. You're a really great band. I love it. I have no idea how to market you guys.' It was at that time they realized it was time to move on to new projects. And now, in their own words, from Rock and Roll Band. I miss you, Rods. Holiday music. Very nice. All right, let's take a look at some of the shows coming up this week. Tuesday, January 24th, there's Maya Lane, Ben Slater, and Lord Russ all at Bishop's Lounge. And karaoke with Patrick Callanan at Tully O'Reilly's. Wednesday, January 25th, open mic night at Pioneer Arts Center of East Hampton, starting at 7 p.m. And at Breakers in West Springfield, there's Minus 11. And right in Northampton at the Eagle's Nest, there's Kamikaze Hearts, Levelette, Deer Tick, and Idatel. Deer Tick, that's a great freaking band name. All right, Thursday, January 26th, there's the Old Blues Jam up at Theodore's in Springfield. The Steep Canyon Rangers are at the Iron Horse for a 7 o'clock show. And there's live karaoke with Max Stone at Breakers. Friday, January 27th at Pearl Street, it's Mad Music Big Battle Night 6! Or check out the Jazz at the Basement. The Roots of Creation bring their reggae-infused jam sound at Bishop's. More reggae at Bishop's. Love it! Or check out the classic rock scene with Catamount at the Route 63 Roadhouse. Saturday, January 28th. Ooh, check this out. The Resurrection Airman Band Country Music Jamboree. This is supposed to include country, gospel, rockabilly, swing. This is being held at the Southwick Congregational Church. It is free. It's from 7 p.m. till 9:30. And then you can go out and see something else. Also on Saturday, January 28th, Bathtub Mary plays at Bishop's. Saturday the 28th, it's Big Battle Night 7! Pearl Street, Jackie Green and Bird and James are at the Horse for a 7 o'clock show. Griffin House and Mark Geary will be at the Memorial Hall Theater in Shelburne Falls. That show starts at 7:30. Oh, gosh, so much to do Saturday. Saturday the 28th, Ray Mason at the Brass Cat in East Hampton. Gary and Callie from Electric Blue and the Cosmic Truth have formed a new band called Cider House, and they're going to be at Theodore's in Springfield. And the Kamikaze Hearts are at the Basement. My gosh. I'm going to get home late that night. Sunday, January 29th, The Horse presents folk singer Abigail Washburn. There's a weekly jam at Club Meadows over in East Long Meadow and karaoke with DJ Okie Dokie. I love that name. And that's at the Basement. Monday, January 30th, Ed Vattis is at Bishop's. And if you want to sit in, make sure you get there for the first and second set. It's time to check in with my good friend Bob Lawless, who is in California for the NAMM show. Bob is at the convention with his very own booth promoting a clever twist on the metronome. It has a built-in laser, which is attached to a servo, so rather than hearing the tempo, you see the tempo. A beam of light is flashed across the room, and you can project it on anything, a wall, a book. It also has a foot switch and MIDI in port, so your computer can control it, great for recording studios. It also has a foot switch, which allows you to step through program tempo settings. Bob brought a prototype by a while back, and I had the opportunity to try it with a few of my drum students. We loved it. When reading exercises from a book, we shined the metronome right on the book itself. It was very easy to stay with, and I think he has a winning idea there. Well, anyway, due to the not-so-great cell phone reception and the noise at the convention, Bob was having a hard time hearing me at times, but we still got some great info from him that I'd like to share with you. Bob also took tons of pictures and some video that we will be posting in the coming week. So consider this part one and look for part two of this report next week. But let's listen in for a moment. Ooh, I wonder who that can be. Yo, 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 what's going on?
Yo, 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 back at NAMM.
What's going
on? Kind of thing going on here. Tell guy with a synth, a chicken behind a scratch board thing, and a bass player and another keyboard.
I'm sorry, but did he say something about a chicken? What's your first impressions of the show?
my first impressions of the show are, wow! It's just unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. There's five main halls and a big downstairs, acres and acres. It's like, this is massive humanity. So I'm trying to make my way and see some small fraction of this in between meeting my booth, and it's a trip.
Was there one product that really stood out so far?
The custom instruments, I think, are what stand out the most. There's unbelievable selection of custom basses and even brass and woodwinds. It's amazing. There's so many custom instrument makers.
Cool.
Not any one particular product that I can mention right now. But if I have to pick a favorite, I'll do that, and I'll fill you in at the end of the show.
Sure, that sounds fine. And hey, how's things been going at your booth?
Lots and lots of interest. Things are going really well. It's a completely unique product. There's a million booths here, and lots of them are redundant. There's a million guitar booths, but there's only one laser metronome booth.
Awesome.
So, yeah, you got to come out to this, Joe. It's, you know, we'll be here. I can't imagine I won't be at the next one's in Austin in the summer, and I'll be at that.
Cool. Did you stop over at Motu at all?
I'm looking at them right now. Actually over at Motu.
I'm so jealous.
They're right next door. What would you like me to see, Joe? What do you want me to take a picture, a video?
Yeah,
what would you like?
Digital Performer. What's going on? I heard rumors of Digital Performer 5 coming out.
Well, I'm going to ask the Motu lady as we speak. Oh, here we go. Is Digital Performer 5 coming out?
Yeah, end of first quarter.
Rock on. Does he have a price point for upgrade from 4.6?
Undecided at this point.
All right.
Mac and Dell version of Digital Performer will be available second quarter.
Ah, that's not too bad. That's pretty good. All right, Motu, keep going. You said something about using some new software from some smaller developers.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of small developers doing stuff like along the lines of Acid and Fruity Loops, that kind of thing, it seems.
Yep.
I'm not a big fan of that myself, but it seems very cool. Actually, here's a scoring program called Sibelius.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Know about that.
It looks very cool. Of course, yep. They have a monitor up here with about a 40-inch widescreen, and it's just beautiful. All right, I'm going to run myself out and look dead, too.
Thanks for taking the time, man.
Talk to you later. This is fun. Bye.
Well, Bob stayed on the phone with me for almost an hour, just oohing and aahing as he went up and down the rows. I'll try to get a little sound collage together for you by next week. But be sure to hit jopey.com, J-O-P-E-Y, to see the videos and pics from NAMM. Thanks, Bob. Well, that brings us to the end of another JopeyCast. This episode brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Bigger, stronger, faster. Party like a rock star. I'm going to take you out with one more piece from the Fifth Pocket. And don't forget, the Fifth Pocket plays every Thursday night at the Harp. Harp's a great place to go out and hear some music. Make sure you get out and support local music, wherever that might be for you. Thanks for listening. Smell you later.